Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. Welcome to the Preacher and the Miracle Man show for Monday, June 11th of 2018. As usual, I'm here at McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road. I'm across the street from a Kmart, one of the few Kmarts left, and here's this, just go get me a large Coke, no ice. But anyhow, yeah, I was just talking about something, but believe it or not, yep, I'm here at McDonald's as I would usually am, and want to apologize for the technical difficulties last time, but we are back up and running this time. But I need to let you guys know something. It does not appear as if I will be able to do a Wednesday night show unless I do it early. But it's not for any kind of bad reason or anything like that. It's nothing against me or anything like that. In fact, it's something very good. Kenneth Copeland is going to be at Living Word Church on Wednesday evening, June 13th, for a 7 p.m. service instead of the normal Thursday night service. And as I've said before on this program, Living Word Church is on 2010 North Stark Road, 1 mile north of US 10. Yep, it's a mile north of US 10. And so that, my friend, is where it is. So we're at the church and we're expecting a lot of people, but more importantly, I'm expecting a powerful anointing of God, because I'm expecting God to move mightily on my behalf, as well as on others' behalf. And I think it's going to be great. I'm using that to say this. It affects my programming, and there will be tonight's show, there will be tomorrow night's show, Thursday night's show. I don't know if I will or won't do it, but in case I don't, Father's Day is coming up, so I'm going to take some time right now, immediately, to talk about Father's Day. But before I do that, I'm going to give the phone number and stuff. Sorry about that, but anywho. Normally I'll do a little monologue or something, and then I'll get, you know, introduce the show. What I'm going to do instead is I'm going to say how to introduce the show, how to get involved in the show first, because when I'm talking about Father's Day, you may want to chime in and talk about it and how you feel. I'm going to talk for a couple of minutes about natural dads, and then I'm going to take a couple quick minutes and talk about our Heavenly Father. And you guys might want to chime in and talk, you know, and let me know. So, folks, those of you who are veterans who have been listening to the show for a very long time, for the full about 10 and a half months, bear with me for just a quick minute. Now, those of you who have friends and relatives, neighbors, who are interested in listening to this wonderful blog talk show, I mean, this wonderful online radio talk show, you can get on board and have a listen. Now, here's what you do. You go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, the website is blogtalkradio.com. All right? Then you'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you'll type in Upfront Entertainment. Okay? Upfront Entertainment. And then after you type that in, you'll see a link. And the link takes you to our channel, which is called Living Large. And we have done 160 episodes now. 160 episodes we have done together. It was me and Preacher Man. Now it's Preacher Man will call in from time to time, but mainly it's me doing it, as Preacher Man now lives in North Dakota. But hey, it's nice to hear the Preacher Man here and there. But when you get on the website, we have a button. We want you to hit the like button, the follow button. And here's what happens when you hit the like button. You're going to get notified when we're getting ready to do a show. And, for example, we started our show tonight at 6. So, if you had hit that follow button, you would have been notified at about 5:30, 5:45 that we're getting ready to do a show. And so, if you got the notification, then you got on, then praise God, we're glad to have you. And we want you to remember this. You can listen to this on your iPhone, your laptop, your iPad, any device with a good internet connection. And remember this. It is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Praise God. You use it for all kinds of other things, you know, maybe to make your grocery list and other things like that. Maybe to surf some of those other apps, you know, to play games and go on Facebook and Twitter. Hopefully if you're using those, you're using those for the right reasons. I'm not going to preach about that tonight, so I'm just moving on. But why not use it for something that's going to bring faith to you? And that is listening to this program. Because I am a spiritual believer in faith. I mean, a strong believer in faith. So is my family. So is Preacher Man. Praise God. So you can get involved by following our program. I'm going to work quickly at getting a Facebook page up and running for the show. And then a Twitter feed. We'll try Facebook first, actually. And then maybe a Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at River Shukla. And Sometimes they may tweet about sports. Sometimes they may tweet about, you don't know. But go ahead and give me a follow. And so we also have a telephone number where you can call into the show and you can talk about generally anything you want to talk about. And I say generally for a reason. I'll tell you what that is after I give the telephone number. The telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt, and then the prompts, and then press 1. And then after you press 1, you'll go to the call screener, and then my assistant Jenny over there, she'll let me know that we've got a caller, and then we're going to let you on. And generally, we can talk about anything you want to talk about, except for politics. And no, I'm not trying to mute you or anything like that. However, in this country, politics can be very divisive. People are divided about their opinions. I like the president. I don't, you know, what have you. But so what we try to do, what we do generally is just stay away from politics. Now, if the president does something just totally admirable and great, and I think it can have a positive effect as it relates to like Christianity or something, then I might just thank him for a quick second. But other than that, I don't use time to talk about politics, except for maybe around election time, I might just tell you to vote and what have you, and might explain why your vote matters so much or something. But other than that, we don't do politics. And if you call into the show and you want to talk about politics, I'm going to tell you to pray for your leaders that have authority over you. As the Bible says, pray for those who have authority over you. And then I'm also going to tell you to go vote. As you have a voice. So if you're over 18 and you're a U.S. citizen, you have the right to vote. So use it. And so please do that. And we have one other quick rule, and that is this. This show is a family show. We really mean it. I really mean it when I say that. We invite all people of all ages, all backgrounds, to be able to come on and listen to the show. And just feel comfortable. We want you to feel comfortable letting your kids listen to the show. And praise God, it's a good Christian program. We do talk about sports and some food and stuff, but what I mean by Christian is we do talk about the Word of God. I read you verses and chapters out of the Bible on this program. And so I want God to be able to feel proud of this, to be proud of this program. And so I ask you to please just keep your comments and content, you know, appropriate. So we just want it to be appropriate for all ages. And generally, the rule we say for this one is this. If you would not say certain words to Jesus, please do not come on and say these words on this program. Amen? So we can follow the rules. Then we can have a great program tonight. And hopefully hear some great things from you, my listeners. Sorry, I was just taking a little break to drink some of my favorite, the best soda on this planet, which is Coca-Cola. And this portion of the program has been brought to you by McDonald's, where I'm at right now. And right now you can get any size Coca-Cola from your nearest McDonald's for the low price of one smacker. So $1, you can get yourself a delicious Coca-Cola. I choose to get it with no ice. You know, it makes it so that it doesn't water down. And it helps make it so that I can generally take little breaks throughout the show while I'm here and drinking it. And it'll stay cold and generally keep its fizz. And it won't water down. Like if I would have put ice in it, it would water down. And then later on during the show, I'd have to be like, oh, I need my Coke refilled. But I don't want to do that. And so no ice is the way to go. Plus, you get more pop, more soda. But praise God. Let's talk about fathers. Sunday is Father's Day. And that's when we celebrate our fathers. Now, let me tell you real quick about my father. Maybe some of you can relate to this. So most of my young life, growing up life, my mom was a single mom, raising two boys, with the exception of a couple of years in like the early 90s, like 91, 92, part of 93. And then that didn't work out. And then after that, then for 12 years, it was just my mom raising me and Ray. And sometimes it wasn't so bad, you know, I had a mom. Other times it was rough. All depended on some things. But then in 2005, we had an answer to prayer. My mom, me, and Ray, my mom had been believing God for a husband, and me and Ray believing God for a father for years. And then in 2005, my mom proposed to Caleb Shukla, who I am proud to be their son. And she proposed to him in Frankenmuth, but I'm going to not say anything about the proposal or anything, but 12 and a half years ago, my mom married Caleb Shukla, who after marriage instantly was dad to me. And then a couple of years later, I had my last name changed to Shukla to match them. But he's been an awesome dad to me. You know, he's done things for me. He took me and he's taken me, Mom, and Ray places that we wouldn't have ever went to otherwise. I can just about guarantee it. And he's just been things. And I love my dad a lot. And I enjoy being with him. I am one of the things, you ask me, what's one of the things you love most about your dad? Yes, I love that he'll take us on trips and that, and help, and he will be the primary driver, like when we go to places and stuff, like we go down south or something. But you ask me what I love most about my dad? He serves the Lord. He serves the Lord. He's active in the church, just like my mom. He's on fire for God. He prays in tongues. And he will help and work in many different areas of the church. He will host with my mother. He'll teach the 5, 6, and 7-year-olds. Actually, me, my mom, and dad do that together once a month. They'll do work in the nursery, my mom and dad. And they, my dad will usher. And my dad is also an elder. So my dad is very busy in the ministry, faithful. He is found working for God. Very active. Very good giver. Very good. So if you ask me, the favorite thing about my dad is that he runs that, goes after God. As being right with God to me is more important than any vacation you're going to take. It's more important than anything else, any restaurant you could take me to, any time he'll take me or Mom to the beach, where me and Mom want to go to the beach, but he could kind of care less, except for the fact that me and Mom are there. Sometimes it's just Mom, though, but still, he'll do it for her or us. But he loves God. He loves God. And he's very good. And he cares about me, Mom, and Ray. Now, I'm so glad that my dad is a strong father. Even though he only, even though he did not marry in to my mom until I was about 16 and a half, even from then till I was 18 and then while I lived in the house, I thought my dad was a very strong father. He was not weak like some of the dads, like way too many dads of today. He was a good, strong father. He still is a good, strong father. I'm proud to call Caleb Shukla my dad. I'm very proud to. Now, said prayers for a little while. I kind of had to get used to it and stuff. And he was a little bit different from my mom. But, hey, I came out of that. And I saw the light, you know. Part of my problem was that I was just doing what some 16-year-olds should do. But I saw the light just a few months later after I got to know him from then. Praise God. But a father is to be a leader of his home. Not the mother, the father. The father is supposed to put his feet down and say, we'll just say, you know, we'll just say the guy's name is Bob. We'll say he's married to someone named Joni. And we'll say they have three beautiful kids. So, Papa Bear, Mama Bear, Joni, and he's supposed to say, hey, Joni, hey, kids, we're going to the house of God today. Let's get ready. Let's get dressed up. We're going to the house of the Lord today, the most important house. Or in the home, you should say, we don't do that here. We live for Jesus. And so a father is supposed to be a leader. I think it's very important that the father be the leader and not the mother. I know some moms are single in that, but where that doesn't apply, the father needs to be number one in chain of command. He does. Now, our Heavenly Father, He is awesome. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus, He loves us. He cares about us. He cares for us. He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to spend time with Him, reading His Word, doing what He said to do, fellowshipping with Him and His believers. Go into His house and just be in there with Him, loving on Him, praising Him, worshiping Him. Okay, let me paraphrase something. I'm not going to go home tonight and worship my natural dad. In fact, folks, those of you listening, don't you dare do that. You can show your love and appreciation for your dad. You better. But it's different from the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father, by all means, praise Him, worship Him, thank Him for being the Lord of your life. Amen. Praise God. Thank Him for being the Lord of your life. And for being so good, and for being, for His majesty, for His excellent grace, for His excellent greatness. Thank you, Father. And I just thought of an excellent course. Now, it's been a while since I've heard this, but it's free and it's powerful. Oh, thank you, Father, for meeting my needs, meeting my needs. Thank you, Father, for meeting my needs. Meeting my needs today. One more time. Thank you, Father, for meeting my needs. Meeting my needs. Meeting my needs. Thank you, Father, for meeting my needs. Meeting my needs today. Amen. Thank you, Father God, for meeting my needs, for being there for us, Lord, for being our Savior. Thank you, Lord God. And, you know, once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you become one of God's children. Praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for that. And God will be right there, and he'll hold you in his arms like the natural dad will embrace his kids. So it'll be like Jesus just giving you a bear hug, you know. Just try to imagine. And so I want to encourage those of you listening right now, please do something for your dad this coming weekend on Sunday or Saturday, whenever you meet him. If you can't have him, if you can't meet him, send him something. A card, a gift. And find out what he wants. Don't just send him a tie. He might have gotten them the last 50 years from you. Unless he wants a tie. Same thing with the tool. Find out what he really wants and get him that. But please do something nice for him. Whether it's taking him to a nice restaurant that he likes or grilling something on the grill for him. Because let's face it, men love stuff made on the grill. Everybody does, but right now I'm just talking about fathers. You know, they love the grilled steak, grilled chicken on the grill with barbecue sauce, brats, burgers, ribs on the grill maybe. That sounds heavenly right now. And other great things. But yeah, please do something nice for your dad. And right now, I want to pray over the men. Lord God, I thank you for these men. I thank you, Lord God, for these fathers who serve you, Lord God, and who lead their homes properly, the way you would have them do it. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you bless them for being diligent and for doing as you called them to do and for leading their families the right way. And at the same time, Lord, I pray that some of these men who haven't done the greatest and for whatever reason that is not going for whatever reason, I thank you that these men that aren't fathering the way they're supposed to be, I pray, Lord God, that they would step up to the plate and do as you've called, Lord God. And I thank you that you're giving these men who are fathers, I pray that you're giving them the anointing to father. And I give you praise and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for the rest of this program, here's the plan of what I'm going to do for the rest of the night. We're going to go to Hebrews 11, as we always do. And we're going to go to Numbers chapter 24. Okay, Numbers chapter 24. And then what I'm going to exhort for a quick few minutes based on what we have read, what we read tonight. And then after we do that, I'm going to talk about some sports, which includes a little bit of what the Tigers have been up to, and then what's happened in the NBA Finals and the NHL Finals, Stanley Cup Finals. And so with that, I'm going to get straight into the word of prayer. You know, we always pray before we open the word of God. Lord God, I thank you for this show tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless these people who have made the choice to tune into the show. I thank you that your hand is on them, and that your blessing is upon them. Thank you that these people would come with a heart that is receptive and a mind that is alert. And I thank you, Lord God, that you would bless me, the oracle, the deliverer tonight, the deliverer of the word. Thank you that you would anoint me and that I would speak only what you would have me speak tonight. And I thank you that you would interrupt me if you see fit. I give you permission to do that, Lord. And over the show, Lord God, I hereby confess that in your name, that I call this show blessed. I call this show prosperous. I claim that in the name of Jesus, that the amount of people listening to this show grows tremendously. I thank you that in the name of Jesus, that finances come to the show. I thank you, Lord, that sponsors and partners who want to help me come on board to the show. And Lord, I thank you that new equipment comes into the show so that this can be the best show that it can be. And I give you praise and honor and glory tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of Numbers chapter 24. Praise God, Numbers chapter 24. And we'll see what God has in store for us tonight. And I'm just turning in my Bible, looking for it. Hang on, it's not 24, it's 25. So we're going to 25. Let me just see what Psalm 25 is. We're going to read 25 and 26, actually, because chapter 25 is kind of short, so we're going to start with Numbers 25. While Israel was staying in Shittim, men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate and bowed down before their gods. So Israel joined in worshiping the Baal and Peor. And the Lord's anger burned against them. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of these people, kill them, expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to Israel judges, each of you must put to death those of your men who have joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor. And then an Israelite man brought to his family a Midianite woman heard before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. One Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this. He left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and he followed the Israelite into the tent. And he drove the spear through both of them. Through the Israelite and into the woman's body. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped, but those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. And the Lord said to Moses, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites, for he was as zealous as I am for my honor among them, so that in my zeal I did not put an end to them. Therefore, tell him I am making my covenant with peace, of peace with him. Excuse me. He and his descendants will have a covenant with a lasting priesthood, because he was zealous of the honor of his God and made atonement for the Israelites. The name of the Israelite who was killed with the Midianites woman was Zimri, son of Sam, the leader of a Simeonite family. And the name of the Midianite woman who was put to death was Cosbin, daughter of Zur, a tribal chief of a Midianite family. And the Lord said to Moses, treat the Midianites as enemies and kill them, because they treated you as enemies. One, they made you in the affair of Peor and their sister, Cosbin, the daughter of a Midianite leader, the woman who was killed when the plague came as a result of Peor. 26. After the plague, the Lord said to Moses and Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, take a census of the whole Israelite community and families. All those 20 years old or more who are able to serve in the army of Israel. So on the plains of Moab, of the Jordan, across the Jericho, Moses and Eleazar, the priest, spoke with them and said, take a census of the men, 20 years old and more, as the Lord commanded Moses. Those, they were the Israelites who came out of Egypt. The descendants of Reuben, the firstborn son of Israel, were Hazokite clan, through Column, the Columite clan, through Hezron, the Hezronite clan, Carmi, the Carmite clan, and these were the clans of Hezron. Those numbered were 43,730. The son of Palum was Eliab, and the sons of Eliab were Zemuel, Devon, and Abram. The same Dathan and Abiram were the community officials who rebelled against Moses and Aaron, and who were among Korah's followers when they rebelled against the Lord. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them along with Korah. Their followers died when the fire devoured the 250 men, and they served as a warning sign. The line of Korah, however, the line did not die out. The descendants of Simeon to their clans were through Zenuel, the Zenuelite clan, through Jamin, the Jaminite clan, through Jachan, the Jachanite clan, through Zorah, the Zorite clan, through Shaul, the Shaulite clan, and these were the clans of Simeon. They were 22,200 men. The descendants of Gad, their clans were through Zephon, the Zephonite clan, through Haggai, the Haggite clan, through Shuni, the Shunite clan, through Ozni, the Oznite clan, through Uren, the Erite clan, through Arodi, the Arodite clan, and through Arali, the Aralite clan, and those were the clans of Gad through 40,500. The Ur and Hornan were sons of Judah, and they died in Canaan. Their descendants of Judah, by their clans, were through Shurai, the Shurite clan, through Perez, the Perezite clan, through Zerah, the Zerahite clan, and the descendants of Perez were through Hezron, the Hezronite clan, through Hamuel, the Hamuelite clan, and I am going to see how much further these go. So down, skipping down to verse 52. And the Lord said to Moses, the land is, no, let's go to 49. Actually 51. And the total number of the men of Israel was 601,730. The Lord said to Moses, the land is to be allotted to them as an inheritance based on the number of names by a larger group, give a larger inheritance, and to a smaller group, give a smaller one. Each is to receive its inheritance according to the number of those listed. Be sure that the land is distributed by lot. While each group inherits will be according to the names of its ancestral tribe, each inheritance is to be distributed by lot among the larger and smaller groups. And these are the Levites who were counted. Let me just see here. So now we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, Lord God. Hebrews 10:9-27. Here we go. More about faith. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients, those of old, were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen is not made out of what was visible. And by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he didn't experience death because he couldn't be found. He couldn't be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes from by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. So he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, Sarah herself was enabled. I mean, Sarah herself, who was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he received Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. And by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And by faith the walls of Jericho fell. After the people had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I don't have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, he knew became powerful in battle, and he routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2 of chapter 12, this is the last verse. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Excuse me. Now, so we talk to you for a second about this faith and patience. Faith and patience are, in fact, the power twins. Dr. Barclay's talked about this before. And we can always believe God, and we should believe God, that the miracle that we're believing for is going to happen right now. But here's the thing. It doesn't always happen right when you expect that it's going to happen. Nope, it doesn't always happen right when you expect it. It doesn't. Sometimes it takes a while. So you got to be able to be patient and not give up. And we got to fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight. Not just, Lord God, if I don't have this certain thing within 2 weeks, I'm done with you. No. You fight the good fight of faith. And you got to pray. And you got to believe God. Lord God, I'm claiming in the name of Jesus that I have $1,000 to give towards the building fund. We'll just say for an example. And so you believe for it. You believe for it. You believe for it. You believe for it. And you got to believe for the manifestation that you're asking for. No. And we all got to do this. If we're believing for stuff. And I've been patiently waiting for the manifestation of my sight to return. Been waiting about 28 years, almost 29. But I had eyesight for the first 3 months of my life, and then amaurosis. Actually, what happened was the devil took it from me, my eyesight. And guess what? Jesus is going to come on scene, and my eyesight's going to be better than what it's ever been. Better eyesight. More eyesight, not less. More. Praise God. More eyesight. Better eyesight than what I've ever had. And so it's going to be, I just know, Lord, know that he has my worlds in his hand, and that he wants to work a miracle. He just wants to work a miracle in us. I know he does. And so we just got to believe God. But we got to put works to our faith. Because faith without works is dead. And works without faith, also dead. I mean, if you're believing for something and you just do work, but you're not asking God for it, it's not going to help your miracle come to pass. Now, let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this word tonight as we read about Moses and Aaron. And I thank you, Lord, about this faith stuff, that you'll continue working on us in this area. And I thank you, Lord God, that we will all learn to have faith in the Lord and not doubt him. And I thank you, Lord, that people who are listening to this program will give their life to you, Jesus. That they would call me or something. And I just thank you that we would get this word on the inside of us so that we could be better for you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right. All right. What's to talk about? First of all, we'll talk about the NBA Finals. NBA Finals is over as the Golden State Warriors swept the Cleveland Cavaliers 4-0, and they won the final game 108-85, just totally annihilating the Cavs. And something crazy came out of this whole thing, and we didn't know it until Friday night. LeBron, apparently, after game one, when he was real disappointed that they lost, back in the locker room, he punched his hand on a locker, apparently. And what that did is it gave him a bad hand injury. And he played with this really serious hand injury for 3 games and did not do so well. Hey, buddy, LeBron, here's what I think about this whole thing. When you hurt your hand like that because you're disappointed you didn't win game one, you hurt your team, buddy. You made it so they couldn't win game two. They could have won game three, but they squandered the lead they had. And then they couldn't win game four. That hurt your team when you did that, buddy. And so you've got to handle it like a man. And real men do not punch things because their team lost. Real men don't do that. You handle it like a man. You find out what didn't go right, you know, and you fix it. And you look at it and you say, you know what? We're going to fix this next game. And if you claim LeBron that, and if you claim LeBron that you're a leader, that's how you lead. You don't lead by punching a locker. You don't. All that did is hurt your team. And there's been speculation that LeBron could go to different places. I commented on a couple different posts that I had seen over on Facebook. One of my Facebook friends, he said, LeBron's probably going to go to Houston. Here's what I said, and here's how it is. Houston doesn't have the cash. They don't have it. Someone else suggested the Celtics. They got a young, they got good young players in that, and I think they could make a run. But, you know, I don't know if they have the cash. Lakers is a possibility, too, I think, if he doesn't stay in Cleveland. But if LeBron leaves Cleveland, I think the Cavs' chances of going to the finals go downhill. LeBron will not come to Detroit because I don't think we have the cash for him. Even though I would be overjoyed myself. Because I feel like it would improve our chances. But you got to give the Warriors some credit. They have all kinds of great athletes. They have my man Draymond Green out of Saginaw High, who has won, in fact, five big trophies Draymond has been able to achieve. I don't know about all these other players, but Draymond, five different trophies because he helped get two at Saginaw High for basketball, junior and senior seasons. At MSU, he didn't get one, but he got to two Final Fours, including a national championship game. And then he's gotten the three in Oakland, Golden State. They got Draymond Green, they got Curry, they got Kevin Durant. They are just loaded. They are loaded to the bone. Loaded. So, LeBron going to Golden State? No, they don't have the cash. But so that means the NBA is done, of course. Now, let's get into something a little more positive. And that is that Justify, the horse Justify at Belmont Stakes, Justify won the Triple Crown. Second player in 4 years to do that. I mean, the second horse in 4 years. So he's only the 13th horse to ever get a Triple Crown. And when you see a horse get a Triple Crown, that's one of those moments that unites America together when it comes to sports, because you don't have Michigan, Ohio State, you don't have Yankees, Red Sox, you know, where it's all divided. I like the Yankees. I like the Red Sox. I'm from Toledo, and I want the Buckeyes to win. Well, I'm from Temperance, Bedford, and I like the head coach up at Michigan and all the players. You know, and it's not about you know, geography. People like who they like, but nonetheless, when you have moments like Justify winning the Triple Crown in horse racing, when you had Michael Phelps winning 8 gold medals in 1 year in swimming, when you have moments like that, those are sports moments that unite America and make you want to root for the root. A 16 beating a 1 seed. A 16 seed beating a 1 seed in men's basketball, like what happened this year when that 16 seed beat that 1 seed. That made people want to root for that 16 seed to go further. It made me want to. It made me root for them too. But they lost the next game. And so that's pretty cool nonetheless. Now in hockey, the Capitals of Washington did end up uppercasing they uppercased the Golden Knights of Las Vegas, the expansion team, in the final game 6-3, and they won the series 4-1. So now we are just down to baseball. Speaking of baseball, in the last series, the Tigers in the last series. The Tigers did, in fact, lose to the Indians. They lost the series 2-1. And the final game of the series, they lost by a score of 9-2. Friday, Fulmer pitched an excellent game, only allowing one run, four hits on seven innings of work. But in the ninth inning, one of the bullpen players gave up three runs on a homer, which did not help anything because Fulmer was really doing a good job. So, to Fulmer, I will say this. Whatever you did Friday night, if it works, keep doing it. To you bullpen pitchers, I will say this. When Fulmer pitches, when the other starting pitchers are pitching, when Zimmerman comes back, support him. Let me rephrase this. You keep up on what they're doing, and you be ready to come out with intensity if that's what these starting pitchers are doing. So that way we can win more games. Because with the way our Tigers are kind of down on the amount of offense produced this year, sometimes in order to win, that requires better pitching. But I'm hoping our offense will step it up. I really want our offense to step it up. Hopefully they can. And speaking of Zimmerman, Zimmerman has a start in Grand Rapids tonight with the West Michigan Whitecaps. So can't wait to see what he does there. And so, with that, folks, I hope you all enjoyed tonight's program. And until tomorrow evening, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see every one of you tomorrow.